Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's just that mindset where guys want to perform at a high level. They're having fun. They're enjoying what they do. They're not necessarily sweating the small details like you'll see with other teams. Like, there's a reason why you see a guy like Clayton Kershaw mow through the regular season and then have his struggles in the playoffs, right? Moments get big. David Price used to suffer from that as well. Moments get big. Emotions come into play. Some of these teams come out of nowhere just because they bond. They play extraordinarily well, and they just surge through the rankings because they're having fun, they're in the flow, and they're not overthinking anything. And I think that's what you're seeing right now. The question is how long it lasts, number one. And number two, what does Farhan Zaidi do? I said this yesterday. I don't envy his position because prior to this run, it was going to be a straight sell, and everyone saw it coming. And now if they continue at this pace over the next 2 weeks up until the trade deadline and he sells off Bumgarner and or Smith, you're going to have an angry fan base. You're going to have a disappointed fan base. Even if it's the right move, from a PR perspective, that's not going to be well received by the fans.
Yeah, and Dibs, you alluded to earlier, you talked about, hey, look, still trade those two guys and still acquire guys. And you think that, hey, with you know, Jonte Cueto and all the guys coming back.
He's down 20 pounds.
You still can possibly even compete. So when you're saying that, does it change the way, even though you're saying that they still can compete, if you're going to acquire younger players, I get that. But would you change a little bit more to say, not only am I going to acquire younger players, do I want someone now? What are they missing? Could you look at this team now, if you're going to stay that same course, and trade those two guys? Are you now just wanting all young guys, or do you want to acquire some other veteran guys right now because you are in the thick of things?
You want to find players who are going to be major league ready next year, if not the year after that. You don't necessarily look for guys who are major league ready right now, because if you look at the roster as it's composed, and you mentioned this before, Dickerson is a guy who's 29 years old. It's not like when you acquired him for Franklin Van Gerp. Shout out Van Gerp, the David Van Gerp mentioned. But you weren't trying to get a prospect in that particular trade. You were trading one of your prospects, granted a long shot, in Van Gerp for a guy who was major league ready. You brought in Pilar, he's major league ready. Donovan Solano is about 30 years old. He's another guy who's not necessarily a young player. Yastrzemski, I think, is 25 or 26. So
home run last night.
The trades that you're going to make, if you make them with Will Smith and Bumgarner, for those deals, you're going to be looking for guys more 23, 22, 24. So I don't think that you can try to make a deal and also look to add something that's going to help you this year. It's one way or the other.
What's the bigger gamble? Selling off the pieces at the deadline, crushing the, quote, magic, which is some words people are using, crushing that, the fan base, all that stuff, and what could be. Right? You never know. Maybe it's something special that's taking place right now. Maybe it could result in a playoff berth. I don't know if it would go much further than that. But do you sell off the pieces, risk alienating the fan base, taking the gamble that, you know what, it's a nice run, but they're not going to be good enough to get to the playoffs, so we're going to do this. That gamble, the gamble of whether or not you want to see this out versus the gamble of, you know what, we're going to see it out. We're not trading anyone. We're going to push forward. And then you make your way towards the playoffs, and maybe you just miss out. Or maybe you get a wild card game and you lose, and then Bumgarner and Will Smith head to free agency and you get nothing in return. What's the bigger gamble that they would be taking?
To me, the bigger gamble is to hold them and hope, because we mentioned the number low every day. You've been asking me about the playoff probability, according to FanGraphs, it's at 2.8%. Right now,
you're
still behind the Padres, by the way. Even though you're a game ahead of the Padres have a 5.7% chance, according to FanGraphs, based on roster composition, run differential, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, Joe, the bigger gamble is to stand pat and hope that you can make something out of this season, even though if you trade your top guys, your Bumgarners, your Will Smiths, the pieces you get back probably won't help you next year, maybe the year after that. It is a big risk.
What's the bigger gamble in your opinion?
I think the bigger risk is to stand pat and just not trade anyone. And you know, I think that, like Dibs alluded to, if you stay the course and say, you know what, Madison, you know, had a great run here. you're going to look to trade him and Will Smith and acquire more younger players and try to get younger by still competing. You look at Madison, you know, he's 5-7. Is right now your team is still hot enough. And the thing that just I think that people have to realize, and I think that you would agree here, the fan base is going to come back. Now, with this team streaking the way that they are, and if they can continue to make noise, I think you might got to have some sellout crowds.
We got the Cubs in town next week, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you start to bring some big-name teams into Oracle Park in conjunction with a winning streak, and you're going to start to build a lot of excitement, no doubt. All right, great stuff there. Big question. All the moves everyone's worried about now, it may have been the move they didn't make that has set up the future for the San Francisco Giants, and that's in a good way. We're going to have that for you next. That cliffhanger brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Here's Stephen Langford with what will no doubt be one of the all-time great updates.
Thank you, Joe. And what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Sonic Internet. Bay Area baseball is piping hot right now, people. I'd pay attention because the Giants have won 4 straight, making that 9 of their last 12. They look to sweep the 4-game series against Colorado today with rookie Sean Anderson on the hill. On the other side of the bay, the A's have won 5 straight and go for the 2-game sweep over the division rival Mariners. NFL Insiders Week continues here at 95.7 The Game as Peter King is now a part of the 95.7 The Game team, and he joined Damon yesterday and talked about his number one question for the 49ers entering this season.
How many games can Bosa and Garoppolo play? If they both play 14, 15, 16 games, this team has got an excellent chance to be a playoff team.
Now, former 49er, now NFL insider for 95.7 The Game, Ian Williams will be in studio with Bonte, Steiny, and Guru at 12. Coming up, MLB and NFL Network host Chris Rose in just under an hour at 9 o'clock. I'm Stephen Langford on the Bay Area's number one sports station. That's 95.7 The Game.
Coming up today on The Game, MLB Network's Chris Rose breaks down the Giants' potential trade deadline moves with Joe Lo and Dibs at 9. And our NFL Insider Week continues as former 49er Ian Williams joins Bonte, Steiny, and Guru live in studio starting at noon on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game. Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Trying to figure out the how. How exactly does one of, if not the worst teams in baseball, not only catch fire, but catch fire in such a way that they become the hottest team in baseball? Giants won 11 of their last 13, during which time they've outscored the opposition by 54 runs. They're averaging 8 runs per game, and at this moment, you can never count them out. Whether they blow a lead in the ninth, so be it. Shake it off. Come back and score 4 in the 10th. Blow out the Rockies in the first half of a doubleheader. Come back and win a grind fest in the nightcap. You name the style, they will come out there and they will give you their best. Small sample size, 11 of the last 13, playing well since the beginning of June. We don't know how long it's going to last, but the how. The how is the big question. You went through this. Whether you remember necessarily or not, we went through this data this morning. 2003, when you were with, at that time, the San Diego Chargers, you guys went 4-12 on the season, and you ended up getting the first pick in the draft. That was the infamous draft Eli Manning. He holds up the jersey. I'm not going here.
Right.
My dad said, I don't have to play here.
That was classic.
So then there's the big trade that results in Merriman, and I think it's Luis Castillo and all that. Philip Rivers lands with the Chargers, but he doesn't start the next year. It's Drew Brees. You guys come back the next year after this 4-12 season. You open the year 1-2. So you're like the Giants. You're off a bad season. You start poor. You're 3-3 at week 6. And then you end up 11-3 and finish 12-4. You went on an 8-game winning streak to go from 3-3 to 11-3, finish 12-4, and go to the playoffs. You know the year I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
What happened? How did you do that?
If you read Drew Brees' book, he lets you know a couple things about that particular year. And he talked about a game against Chicago, the Bears, that is. And he was in the situation in the huddle and comes over to me and he's looking a little discouraged. And I remember looking him in the eyes and said, Drew, just lead for God's sake. We believe in you. We want you out here. And Drew Brees took off. And that was a game that when we looked at it, I didn't know anything necessarily the impact that it was going to have on this man, because Marty had called him to the sideline and said, we're going to go with the kid. We're going to go with the kid. I'm going to give you one more series, and we're going to go with the kid, meaning they were going to take him out and put in Phillip Rivers. And Drew Brees, that conversation, and you look at him in the eyes, and I said, man, lead for guys. We believe in you. Let's go. Dude, we end up winning that game, and we just started rolling. That was, and it's crazy. And you saw the locker room start to come together, and we start a win, another win. And it starts becoming infectious, and you start saying, man, we got something here.
How great was it to be a part of that locker room? Like, well, it was probably a great time being in there.
It was a great time. Remember
all that naked wrestling you're such a fan of?
No naked wrestling. But no. And just
see about that.
On the way home, from traveling, the road trips, we'll get a couple of Coors Lights, sit on the bus, and guys start bonding, sitting and having a beer or two together, talking about it. You even had Drew and Phillip. And you've seen the team starting to believe, and we're singing and doing certain things on the bus. The atmosphere starts feeling good, and the coaches know, hey, we're on to something. And once you start that role and you start believing, and then you're at practice, guys are laughing, they're having more fun, they're getting more involved at practice. Guys are walk through, they're not late, they're getting there, and they just start buying in. And you start feeling, man, we can do something here. So it's just you know, you just start moving in the right direction. Before you know it, you're in the thick of things.
You beat Carolina on the road in a tough game, 17-6. Then you boat the Raiders, you boat the Saints, you go into your bye 6-3. Tough win at Oakland, tough win at Kansas City, narrow win over Denver, you beat Tampa Bay, you shut out Cleveland. In that stretch, you got to feel like you guys are an unbeatable club, which is kind of what the Giants are going through right now.
That Denver game was a hell of a game on
2017.
The road.
At Denver,
on the road. I remember, because you're bringing it back. Well, that game was a hell of a game. We were like, that place was rocking the stands. They had those bleachers. It was just unreal. And we're like, this game is going to the wire. We ended up pulling that one out, and then we knew.
Jay Cutler, the quarterback of the Broncos then?
I think it was Jay.
Right around that time, because I know him and Phillip used to have that thing.
It was. He was there.
Old Jay Cutty.
And then that's when Al Wilson and I was going at it. And then we ended up, we really killed them. We said, if we can beat them in Denver, we knew we could beat them at home. At home, we motorboated them, I think.
Wasn't it the Chargers who were playing the Broncos in the famous Hockey League game? Hockey League had some awful call at the end of the game that they blew, that the Chargers ended up getting the win as a result. I can't even remember the details of this, but I know Hockey League was it in Denver?
The Raider game at home in San Diego.
No, it's different. We're talking about something different then. Okay. There was a game in Denver. It was a Sunday afternoon game. I remember that part vividly. Something happened late where Hockey Lee was the ref. They blew the call, and it cost the Broncos the win. And Hockey Lee was almost a marked man for this, but I can't remember the details specifically. Damn. Probably not the best thing to bring up on Sports Talk Radio.
In 2008, he, after blowing a call that helped Denver beat San Diego.
Okay, so I had the teams right, but it helped the Broncos.
Yeah, 2008 is
were
what
you
it
with
was,
them in
this.
No.
Yeah, so it's not us. It's all right.
Okay,
so
you
shake it off. What happened? What did he do?
It looks like a Jay Cutler fumble. A fumble that didn't get called, and then San Diego went on to win. That's in my brief research here. That's what
I almost
want to
say
with.
Like they blew the play dead after the fumble occurred, and it was so obvious, or it was, I don't know, like a forward motion thing. Who knows? But whatever. I just remember that being this. Hockey League got destroyed for that, and they didn't have replay to the extent where they could correct anything like that back then.
They could defend themselves. Those big arms.
All right. Thank you for sharing that, because I figure culture has something to do with it. But maybe it's the winning that breeds the good culture, or a good culture breeds the winning, which leads to a great culture. Either way, you went through something similar to what the Giants are going through. We were kicking this around this morning. How do you feel now about this team not having acquired Bryce Harper? Right? Like, get Bryce Harper, pay what it takes. It's going to sell jerseys. It's going to sell entertainment. All that stuff's true. But right now, I want to highlight a couple of things. First and foremost, Harper. Harper's hitting .257 with 17 home runs. That's not terrible, but 13 years, $330 million, there are 49 players with more home runs than Bryce Harper right now. 49. He didn't even go to the All-Star game this year, right? Good night for the Phillies last night. He showed up big in the ninth. But just think about that. That commitment in terms of years and that commitment in terms of cash. Then think about how he plays defense, because right now, this Giant defense is very quietly no joke. Pillar, Yaz, Dickerson last night. Pillar just routinely with the web gems, if they even do that anymore on ESPN, but routinely with the web gems, this team right now, one of the key metrics to measure defense, DRS, defensive runs saved, right? You want to be in the positive on this. The Giant outfield compared to Major League Baseball, 30 teams, the Giant outfield has 24 defensive runs saved. That's third in Major League Baseball. The only two defenses by that metric, the only two outfield defenses by that metric that have performed better are the Dodgers and the Twins, both in first place in their division, both headed for the playoffs. In terms of UZR, as we were goofing around with this morning, ultimate zone rating, another defensive metric. For the outfield, the Giants ranked ninth. Last year in this category, the Giants were 23rd. Last year in defensive runs saved, the Giants were 18th. They had a terrible defensive outfield. We all love Hunter Pence, but that arm was not working in right field, right? Left field's been an albatross since Bonds.
Right.
This team is now third in Major League Baseball in defensive runs saved as an outfield, ninth in UZR. Steven Duggar ranks eighth in defensive runs saved individually amongst outfielders. Kevin Pillar is 10th. Yaz is 11th. Bryce Harper's 30th. Wow. National League outfielders, defensive runs saved. Bryce Harper's 30th. Duggar's 8th. Pillar's 10th. Yaz is 11th. So right now, if you have Harper, that's one less opportunity to bring somebody up to see what you have from the youth. That's fine. You have Bryce Harper. But it's not as if that 13 years, $330 million is looking like a tremendous move for the Phillies. Mm-hmm. If you've seen them in this Dodgers series, they're not selling out. They got the Dodgers in town, for crying out loud. They are not selling out. So if you go back in time, do you kind of agree with the move? Like, are you happier now that they didn't end up signing him?
You're thrilled because...
Thrilled, really?
Thrilled for a couple reasons. One, Bryce Harper wouldn't have even 17 home runs hitting for the Giants at Oracle Park, which we know is notoriously tough on hitters. So you can go ahead and tick that total down by three, maybe four home runs. And the other thing is what you mentioned about Kevin Pillar and how unbelievable he's been in center field. Over the last couple of years, the Giants have lost 17 of 19 games at Coors Field. 17 of 19. That's
a 2-17 record.
That's even worse than the 0-3 San Diego Chargers that were 4-12 as we bring it all the way back around. You look at Kevin Pillar, Steven Duggar, and the defensive run saved and how important that is at a place like Coors Field, which has the biggest outfield in all of Major League Baseball, and you start to see tangibly why this year is different from last. They've won three straight games in Colorado. They're going for a four-game sweep today, which would be more wins than they had. It'd be double the wins that they had in the two seasons combined at Coors Field, and a lot of that is because of the hitting, but it's also because of the great defense. But
Harper, do you wish they would have acquired him?
No.
Or are you at the point now where you look at this and think, maybe they dodged a bullet?
They absolutely dodged a bullet. You look at Harper, yes, he'd have put butts in the seats, but if you think about how they're able to compete right now, the Giants team, but when we don't say, God, what's their all-star? Who do they got? Who's in outfield? What can these guys got any hitting? You just look what the Giants have been able to do with these guys. They have came alive. They got to be, Farhan's got to be like licking his chops and saying, thank God I didn't get Bryce Harper. It would have cost us $330 million. And what would it have got? Would we be better? Yes, he is a better hitter than those guys. So let's just be real. Would he have had as many home runs? Probably here. Probably not, like Dibbs alluded to. But how strapped would you have been for cash? Now you really would be in a situation that you're trying to trade everything if you have him on this team, especially if you wasn't in this position. So I think the Giants definitely got to feel so much better that they didn't bring him in.
You do. You do. I mean, you figure if you had him early, maybe you win a little bit earlier. Maybe he's a clubhouse guy that helps rally. But bottom line, I don't understand why some of the teams, they make these moves. They make these moves to the extent where you're going to give that many years and that much money. Now, obviously, you're able to justify the finances on the back end, the ticket sales, the jersey sales, the excitement and all that. But what is it? Rule number one of investing, you diversify your portfolio, right? That's Absolutely. Too much money tied up into one guy, one injury, and all that money's on the shelf. I'd so much rather bring in a collection of players and try to build a team than dump it all into one guy. I mean, you know how long Albert Pujols has been with the Angels? Like, you have to go back a long time to when he played with the Cardinals, and it's been forgettable since he's been there. You give Trout all that money, I can kind of see that. But he's hurt. He's battling a calf right now. I mean, what's Machado doing in San Diego? He didn't even go to the All-Star game. Him and Harper just signed $300-plus million deals, and neither guy was able to get to the All-Star game. The All-Star game doesn't require you to be awesome. You just need the votes.
Giancarlo Stanton, another guy that the Giants were all in on, and he has not necessarily returned on investment with his injuries as well, and his power numbers dipping a little bit this year. To your point about diversifying the portfolio, we look at this Giants team, and we look at $125 million committed to contracts next year, and all we talk about is how do they get out from underneath the Samardzija deal, and you've got Evan Longoria for a handful of years and all these other big contracts. So the last thing you would have wanted, in my opinion, was to heap another big long-term contract on top. And you look at what Farhan Zaidi's done with all these little trades, these little transactions.
Yeah.
They're not big financial commitments. You know, Stephen Vogt, you're not paying Stephen Vogt $10 million a year. And you've got Alex Dickerson and Yastrzemski and Donovan Solano, all these small little pieces who've come in and contributed and played very well.
They have. And then they seem like they have inspired the older guys like the Brandon Crawfords, the Buster Posey's. You look at these teams, and you know, with all respect, you got to look at this team and look at the teams in the Bay in general. They might be the two hottest teams in baseball if you think about what they're doing, and they don't have big names. I mean, of course, Posey's been, Madison's been the big names, you know, of yesterday year. But if you just talk about guys that are not necessarily get their just dues, you got two good teams in the Bay Area that are friggin' making noise, that are friggin' making big time noise. And the Giants right now, Farhan's in a situation where I think Joe, he's still going to push the button and he's going to probably trade Madison and do those things. But I would definitely still try to compete this year. And by trading Madison, like Dibbs alluded to, you're still in a position that you still can compete.
You have to trade him. You have to trade everything and get as many assets as you can. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan, because the downside of the gamble of, quote, going for it, ruthless. You could set yourself back even further. One team wins a title every year. One team. So what's the upside for the push outside of a title? Now, if this team got to a World Series and lost, I'm sure it'd be an incredible story. Getting to the playoffs would be awesome. But remember, as a fan, you will turn on them very quickly. You absolutely will. You can sit here and say all you want. They should be buying right now. Don't tell anyone, buy. You got to go for it. This is the opportunity. Then what will happen is they go for it, and maybe they get close, and maybe they just miss out on the wild card. And then a few weeks will go by, and then a couple months will go by, and you'll get the free agency, and you'll realize Bumgarner's signing elsewhere, and you're getting nothing for him, and the same thing's happening with Will Smith. And then you're going to look to Zaidi, and you're going to criticize him and the organization, and you're going to complain about the Belt deal, and you're going to complain about the Crawford deal and everything in between. And that's what's going to end up happening. They don't have the luxury of thinking like a fan. They have to think long term. This is a fun run, but accept it for what it is. It's a fun run. Maybe they find a way to grind this thing into contention, but that's going to be without Bumgarner and Smith. You got to move them. You got to bring in the assets. You got to stick to the plan. You got to think big picture. What are you going to do? You really going to be good enough to beat the Nationals or the Braves or the Cubs or the Dodgers? Do you have those assets? I understand it would be fun to find out, but it's not your money and they're not your assets. At some point, they need to be dealt so you can restock this thing for the future so that you can truly contend on a consistent basis. That's what Zaidi's trying to do. So when the news comes down in the next couple of weeks that Bumgarner's on his way out of town and you get very upset, that is understandable. But all y'all probably loved the Matt Cain deal when it went down. And you loved the Brandon Belt deal when it went down. And you loved the Barry Zito deal when it went down. And it all sounds great right up until it doesn't start working out. You have the luxury of turning on that. They can't. They can't turn on that deal. They're stuck with that deal, and they've got to find a way out of it.
So if you trade these two guys and you get young assets, the guys that are still in the double, the minor leagues is going to have to still work their way up. You're being able to compete in the future. Does that change the way you handle free agency? Because now you got a bunch of young guys that you're thinking is going to help your team, or still are you going to be aggressive in the offseason? Because if you look at it in a situation like that, that Farhan can be looking at saying, hell, I got these two guys. Okay, I got a couple young assets. Okay, I traded one of them. Maybe I keep Madison. And maybe I'm going to sign him back next year. Or I let him go, but I still have – am I still going to be aggressive in free agency? When now, are they going to be aggressive if they trade these two guys? Does it change the way they
do
things?
I don't think it changes the approach. And as far as being aggressive, you can only be so aggressive because Buster next year, 22.2. Longoria is at 15. Cueto is going to be 21.8 million. You've got Samardzija, one more year of Jeff – at 19.8 million.
Jeff.
Crawford's at 15. Belt's at 17. Melanson in his last year, next year, at 14. that's $125 million right there on just seven players. So you really can't be aggressive at the top end of free agency. And I think Farhan has shown you this year how he rolls, yeah, which is start from the bottom, backfill, bring in guys who you know. Did Donovan Solano played with him or played for him in L.A. He's a piece that isn't costing you that much. Dickerson has arbitration years left. So these are pieces that are affordable. That's, I think, more where they're going to look in free agency.
SDS, stack, develop, and shed. Stack assets, develop those assets, shed the, quote, assets you used to have that cost too much money. That's the plan. There's no rush here. There is absolutely no rush with any of this. Remember, you're going to need a new skipper after this year, too. There are a million things going on. You need to find a way to take what you've got that you can flip into assets, which starts with Bumgarner and Smith. You hope. I heard a rumor that ESPN, some analyst had a nugget that possibly a trade that would make sense would be Brandon Belt to the Texas Rangers. I don't know if something like that could take place. Shed as much of this as you can. All these guys are getting older. They're not going to be around when you're ready to compete. Shed them. Bring in assets. Develop those assets. That's what you need to do. No, I don't see them going out into free agency and spending $20 million per on anybody. Right. It's just going to be continuing to develop the young. Get as many young guys in here as possible. Build them up. Get as many poker chips as you can to the pot. Shout out to the end of the World Series of Poker. Yeah. That happened last night. Exhilarating final table.
Yeah.
But that's the plan. There's not. I don't see a lot of spending taking place.
Could you see Farhan with these guys? You're talking about the Busters and some of the older guys of yesterday year. Could you see them just saying, hey, I'm going to pay? Because you don't see, I mean, you see some teams just say, I'm just going to eat it.
Would
it
Sandoval be in Boston.
Exactly. They just, prime example, can you see this team heading in that direction? If you're you're Farhan, you know you got the keys to this organization. Would it behoove him to look at this and say, we're going to fight this year, but I'm going to pay guys to go ahead and walk. Because if I want to build the way you guys are alluding to, these guys are still going to be on the books for a couple more years.
And you mentioned all those guys, seven players I mentioned, they're all at least 31 years of age. So to your point about getting younger, Belt's the youngest at 31. But after this year, you owe Buster Posey $47 million. You owe Evan Longoria $58 million. You owe Johnny Cueto $48 million. You owe Crawford 30 and you owe Belt 34. So that's a lot of eating. You're going to need salsa, sour cream, probably a side of guac as well.
I'm not saying
all of
them.
Chalula.
I know.
Big Chalula. Spice that up.
Now, make it taste good. You can't let everyone, but do you start that shedding process? Because you talked about and shed.
I think it might be a balance. Maybe if someone were to call up and say, hey, old Jeff Samardzija is pitching really well. Last three outings, he's got an ERA of under 1.7. The velocity's ticking up because the shoulder's feeling better. No one's going to want that contract because there's only a year left, but it's like $19.5 million. So maybe there's a situation where it's like you can move him along with Will Smith and then get less in return, or you move him but you eat some of the salary. Like when I want to say it was Robbie Cano when Seattle sent him. Where is he now? The Mets? When they sent him over to the Mets, they took on a ton of that salary, Seattle, just to get him out of there.
Right.
They were willing to take on more than any, or the Mets were willing to create a better split than anybody else, which is why they ended up moving him. It was just time. They just needed to shed the deal, get out from under it, because they're going through a whole rebuild as well. So you might have something where you can play it right down the middle. You get rid of the guy, but you're still going to have to eat some of the cash. I don't see any outright buyouts coming. Like the Sandoval thing in Boston, this organization doesn't operate like that. Like Boston throws around money like nobody else. The second they don't like it, here's every last dollar, Sandoval.
Bye-bye.
Get the hell out. We never want to see you again.
Get out yesterday.
Yeah.
And you look
get
at
out.
This situation. Buster is going to be here until he decides he doesn't want to, so he's not really a buyout candidate.
That one's fine, too. I'm okay with
Longoria with $57 million. That's too much to eat, and he's got so many years left that you may have to ride or die with that one. Cueto's coming off an injury, so he actually might still be a useful piece you want to keep. Joe mentioned Samardzija. It's just one more year. You can tolerate him. If you're still in a rebuild next year, you can use him as a guy who's going to eat innings.
Remember, he can eat innings.
And if you're not going to be very good in 2020, which nobody's expecting them to be a World Series contender next year, that's a contract you can tolerate for a guy who will, in fact, eat innings. He's going to get you 200 innings. So you don't really have a lot of classic buyout candidates, in my opinion.
The billions are shouting us out. We haven't even given out the phone number. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Let's begin with Bobby in Los Altos. Bobby, thanks for the phone call. The floor is yours. Fire away.
All right. Thank you for taking my call. call. I guess a couple of things, just based on the comment that you said earlier. I'm going to respectfully disagree with the fact that you wouldn't want to have Bryce Harper on your lineup. I mean, I can understand if there's a salary cap sport and you have to give up something for something. But we all know the Giants are printing money, and to say that he isn't worth a roster spot is crazy. I think you guys are a bit of a prisoner of the moment with the fact that they're on a hot streak over the last 11 games, and the fact that you guys are touting defensive metrics as some justification of how the Giants dodged a bullet, I think is crazy. Again, this is not a salary cap sport. He absolutely would bring some offensive talent and excitement, and absolutely I think he would have been worth the investment. The fact that he didn't choose to come here, I really don't think that's dodging a bullet.
How do you think it would look in year nine of that 13-year deal?
How would it look in what way?
How would it look? Would you still be happy? You think the Angels are happy with the Pujols deal? You think Seattle was happy with the Cano deal? You think the Phillies were happy with the Howard deal? All these deals look good early, but they're 10-year deals.
That's right. And I think you guys have said, I mean, many people say when you're talking about baseball, a 10-year deal in baseball is not a 10-year deal, right? You're only looking at 4 or 5 years, and then you're talking about buyouts, player options, and things like that. So, I really don't look that far ahead as it relates to baseball, and quite frankly, basketball contracts anymore as well. But one more, we'll call it whimsical point. Your take on Cholula, I think, is sadly mistaken as well. Franks and the smoked McElhenney's hot sauces make Cholula look like preschool.
All right.
Great
appreciate
call from Los Altos.
A lot going on there.
Strong. Yes.
Got me in the corner. I'm like throwing blows on everything here. It's like we got to fight about every point. You got a problem with every point I've made today?
He did. But we appreciate the call. Whimsically, of course. Whimsically.
Yeah. That's the new reverse. No disrespect as you spit in your face. I'm about to disrespect you, but whimsically. So, no one has to get upset about it.
Right.
Okay. I'm just going to wear a shirt that says whimsical, and then just assuming whimsical. I have carte blanche, I can say whatever I want.
Run around
crushing
people.
His comments on Cholula are just, that's a communist. That's a comment you get from a communist or some lunatic out there on the fringe trying to overthrow a government. That's a communist comment, and that's fine. That's fine. You want to be a communist?
Go ahead.
We got billions of listeners. We're going to have all types. We're going to have people that are pro-socialism, pro-communism, pro-democracy. Huge in North Korea from what I understand. Yeah. I don't know how the signal gets through, but we're big. Un listens when he's playing golf, hole-in-one after hole-in-one.
And if Un
shout
listens,
out Un. Thanks for listening. I mean, we don't agree with your policies, but thanks for listening.
He's got the whole country listening, which is good, though. Un tunes in and everyone tunes in. That's the way that goes.
I see what he's saying about the Harper deal, but how many of those type deals have worked out? How many teams have looked back and said this was the right move? Do you think the Angels regret the Albert Pujols move? All right. You don't have to answer it. Just think about it. Do you think Seattle regrets that Robinson Cano deal? Clearly, because they traded him. Do you think the Phillies regretted that Ryan Howard deal? Do you think, what was the other one? The Tigers are regretting the Miguel Cabrera deal, right? Like when he got that money, that was crazy. He was going to play him until he's like 40. They're still paying him huge money. You don't even hear from Miguel Cabrera anymore. The Tigers stink. Absolutely stink. You hand these deals out and they look good at the moment. It's like, man, Manny Machado, 10 years, 300. We got him. Yeah, in the first couple of years, it'll make sense. And at the tail end, salaries will have jumped so much because of inflation, it won't look like that much. But the guy's not going to be the player he was in his prime, and he's going to be sitting there taking up a decent chunk of cash. The fan base is going to have gotten tired of him. I mean, as great as Albert Pujols has been, he went to the Angels. No one talks about him anymore. Once every 2 years, he comes up on a major MLB milestone, and you hear about Pujols for 3 minutes, and then it's over. And then he disappears for 2 more years. Yeah. He's not putting up numbers. That was a terrible deal for the Angels. Have the Angels even been to the playoffs since he joined them?
I can't recall. I don't think so.
I'm going to go ahead and look it up. Fill some time by just throwing some words out there.
And he's a guy, though, that are the fans disappointed in Pujols? I think that he's a crowd favor still.
He is.
And he can still take cuts. He shows you signs. Is it a great contract? No. Is it great for him? Yes. It's just the way that the baseball's set up. Because of the fact they have your rights so long, you do owe it to these guys to make sure they're paid and make sure so I think these contracts, the way that Major League Baseball set it up, I think that they're still winning.
Well, let me ask you this then, from a team standpoint and from the Giants standpoint, do the Giants regret the Johnny Cueto deal, 6 years and $130 million that they signed back in 2016. The team's got the option in 22.
I think they regret
the injury changes the answer to that. If he had stayed healthy, I think that would be a different answer versus now you look at it, it's like, well, Tommy John, the team fell apart. I think it's easy to say yes to that.
Yes, but when you're dealing with a six-year contract for a pitcher in this day and age, you've got to anticipate Tommy John. What percentage of pitchers get Tommy John now? It feels like at least a quarter of pitchers, well, half if you're the A's, but so you almost have to put that into your calculus when you're giving out a long-term deal.
Well, they gave one to Samardzija. I mean, this is a Samardzija.
That was the next one on my list. Do you think they regret Samardzija 5 years and $90 million?
I think so, but you got to, when we're talking about a guy like Pujols and a guy like Cueto, those guys have shown you in their career that they can be not good, but great players.
Right, but the point is, when you're giving a long-term deal to a guy, Johnny Cueto's 33 right now, so next year, 34, you're paying him when he's 35.
Right.
These are all factors that you have to think about when you're giving out long-term deals.
But these long-term deals are usually predicated on what these guys have done. And when you look at a guy like Samardzija, you were doing that on speculations, ending eater, but you can look at what is the ERA, how was this guy? But you look at a guy like Cueto and you look at Pujols, Pujols used to rake it now. So I don't know if you look at it, I think that those long-term deals are predicated on what they've done in the past.
All right, so tell me what you think of this Albert Pujols deal, all right? So the year he's a free agent, he plays in 147 games. This is 2011. He hits 39 home runs, 99 RBIs, finishes MVP number two. He was
first
second
year for
MVP.
The Angels.
No. That's the last year with the Cardinals.
Gotcha.
The 2 years before that, he won back-to-back MVP awards and Silver Sluggers. He was, in 2009, All-Star, 47 homers, 135 RBIs. 2010, All-Star, 42 home runs, 118 RBIs. Final year with the Cardinals right after, 37 home runs, 99 RBIs. Second in MVP voting, won a Gold Glove that year and a Silver Slugger. He goes to the Angels on a 10-year, $240 million contract. At the time of signing, he is 31 years of age. So this deal will end when he is 41. So far, he has been with the Angels 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. This is his eighth season with the Angels. He has gone to one singular All-Star game. The Angels have made one singular playoff appearance in which they were swept out of the ALDS by the Kansas City Royals. And Pujols has gone, in terms of his totals, starting his first year with the Angels, 30 homers, 105 RBIs. Yay, Bryce Harper in his first year. Everyone loves him. Then 17 homers and 64 RBIs. Then it's 28 for 105 and 40 for 95. Those are good seasons. He went to his one All-Star game that year.
40 for 95. Can we get somebody on base ahead of him?
Exactly.
Good God.
Exactly. A lot of solo shots
that year. Solo jacks, I got to tell you.
And then 2016, 31 homers for 119 RBIs, 23 for 101, 19 for 64 as it continues to drop up on its way down. I mean, one All-Star game in 10 years, $240 million for a guy who's going to go from 31 years of age to 41 years of age, and you're going to get one All-Star game out of that. And again, it's baseball. One guy can only do so much. You went to one playoff appearance.
And you didn't win even a singular game.
Yeah, it's like the Knicks. If you get to the playoffs but you get swept out, does it even count?
How much
My answer is no.
How much meat's left on that bone then? He's got three more seasons of the deal? Because I know he's
looking at it right now.
Eighth year of a 10-year deal,
yeah,
so he's got two more years.
$28 million this year in adjusted salary, $29 million next year, $30 million in 2021. Now, just like back then, don't worry, at the end of the deal, the numbers will look reasonable. Will they? $30 million for Albert Pujols 2 seasons from now. There'll be a bunch of guys making $30 million or more, but he's going to be 41 years of age. Cabrera is the same situation. I could go through the numbers and point that out as well. These deals, granted, it's not just about on-field production. The jersey sales, the butts in seats, the excitement, all that has to be counted. And this isn't necessarily to knock Albert Pujols' career. But when the Angels made that deal, they thought something was really going to happen, and nothing has occurred since then. Nothing. They've been so poorly run. Think about the margins with which you're operating. If you're going to give a 10-year, $300 million deal to someone, you've got to draft well, you got to sign other guys well, you got to develop well, manage well, you got to bring guys up, you got to get a little bit of luck, you got to hope your guy stays healthy, and then just then this might turn into a decent investment.
Right.
But mostly it doesn't. Cano didn't, Howard didn't, Pujols isn't, and Miguel Cabrera isn't.
And though you made a great point, and you're totally right, these contracts are given out on what these guys have already accomplished, but to me, that's bad business.
Well, fix it. Well, how do we fix it? That's what I'm saying. Then change structure. Baseball's got to change its structure.
And baseball's trying to.
When a guy goes hit 40, 50 home runs and he's up free agent, you either pay him. And for 3 years, 4 years, they got control of you, and then all of a sudden you're making peanuts. Then you come in and then they still can control. So, and then in your situation, now you come in like a Madison Bumgarner who you sign early because of the fact, hey, you don't want to take the chance and you miss out on millions and millions of dollars. I get it. That, yeah, they can make that, you know, it's still not a shabby amount of money. I understand what the compared to the world, but I'm just saying you got to look at it both ways. The glass half full, half empty.
Right.
What
but
do
you
want?
You want to have a situation where you don't have to extend.
I never heard that.
You don't have to extend these guys.
I don't even know if it makes sense.
Years.
I just felt like saying something odd.
It's bad business. And you can look at the San Francisco Giants as a great example. Yes, it's bad business to reward these guys lucrative contracts for what they have done. And it's great to take care of your own. Buster Posey, 9 years, $167 million in 2013. And you look at it this year, he may not hit 10 home runs. He's going to be a 260 hitter with 8 home runs, and you're paying him $22 million. And next year is $22 million, and then it's $22 million. The guy can't even play 140 games anymore because he's getting worn down.
I understand that. And that's why I then let some of these guys eat some of the contract. So how do you justify these guys and the numbers and things they do, and they finally get to a point that they can excel and get the money that they believe that the market was going to bear, and then all of a sudden it's not going to be? And baseball's doing that. Besides Harper, you look at a lot of these guys that are out that was still on the market, aces and pitchers and different things that were out on the market, and baseball saying, no, we're not doing these long-term deals. We're holding on to it. And then you got a situation where the player's like, look, I'm taking them to arbitration because they should be spending this money because they believe that it's collusion. So how do you fix the problem where the guys that are worth it, they're guys that have came through the ropes that are worth the money now?
Guy's blowing me up on Twitter saying Miguel Cabrera is still killing it. You should look at his stats this year. 5 home runs, 37 RBIs.
Yeah.
Maybe
killing
he
what?
Means as
killing his career averages. Year before that, sorry, got it wrong. Year before that, played 38 games last year, 3 home runs, 22 RBIs. But don't worry, in 2017 they got their money's worth. 16 jacks, 60 RBIs.
Yikes.
Come on, son.
Man.
Don't hit me up on the socials like that. Michael, San Jose. Michael, thank you for the phone call. Floor is yours. Fire when ready.
Yeah, I'll take 2 glasses, too, while you're at it.
Why not 3?
Hey, yeah, I'm supportive of the Giants trading Bumgarner to get value for him while they can and re-sign him in the offseason if there's an opportunity. And then also trade Will Smith to maximize value. But just wait and see where you're at in 2 weeks because the price will go up if they continue to produce. And Bill, for the future, despite being 3 games out, I don't see the Giants beating the Braves or the Dodgers in the playoffs, even though they got this hot streak. A lot can happen between now and the end of the season, so that's the way I see it.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
It's a great call, Rackham.
The idea of trading Bumgarner and then re-signing him in the offseason, what does everyone think about that? Obviously, it comes down to price, but it feels odd. You can't overbid on something like that, right? Because all this time, you probably had an opportunity to get a better deal because you had some leverage.
If you do that, you're going to have to overpay him when he comes back. Because he's not good. All things, he's going to be like, I'm out of here. It didn't take care of me. The guys have some pride. To come back with your tail between your leg, you do it for extra money. But do you just do it if everything's being equal? You're like, put an egg, shoe, beat it.
Depends on how much you value fit and comfort. Because right now in San Francisco, you've got great fit and you've got great comfort. And I think it also depends on what they do with the manager spot. Because if you're Madison Bumgarner, you know in Bruce Bochy, you've got not only a great mentor and a great manager, but a good friend. It's been widely reported how close those two are. And you're pitching to Buster Posey the majority of the time, a guy who has caught you the entirety of your career. So there is a certain comfort that goes along with it. Now, if they just outright trade him and if they deceive him at the deadline, then maybe at that point you're going to have to overpay. But you could have a wink, wink, nod, nod, handshake agreement where, look, we're going to trade you to Minnesota, but don't sign long-term for them because we want you back in the offseason. Something like that is possible.
What do you think about what's been going on with Will Smith these last few days? Blown 2 saves in his last 3 outings. One was in Milwaukee over the weekend. One was last night. Giants still went on the win last night, 8-4. So bygones are bygones. Hadn't blown a save all season. any concerns that something might be going amiss, or is this just, you know, a typical down spot and he'll bounce back?
Typical down spot, and you mentioned it earlier. It's kind of a situation where you look at a Colorado Rockies team that scored two in the opener. They scored one in the second game, and they were ripe for a little bit of a breakout. And by the way, that inning, you had Trevor Story, you had Nolan Arenado, you had some of the best bats, right-handed bats, against a left-handed closer. I think it was a little bit of a confluence of events. Smith not pitching great right now. Rockies ready for a regression to the mean, and it all came to a head last night in the ninth.
What are you doing with today's game? Possible four-game sweep, Sean Anderson versus, what's this guy, John Gray. Big price for the old Colorado Rockies.
What is it? It's got to be big-time plus money. This reminds me of last Friday night when I was in Reno, and you've been talking about Sean Anderson all year.
The last few outings have been a little dicey.
A little shaky.
Little dicey the last three outings.
But
not terrible.
You, all year, have been talking about Sean Anderson and how he's been a pretty successful guy on whom to bet.
I like him.
Last Friday, they were plus 185 against Milwaukee, and Anderson pitched pretty well, and it eventually was a 10-6 victory on a Buster Posey Grand Slam. So Sean Anderson's a guy I wouldn't be afraid to back. However, what's the likelihood of the Giants sweeping four games in Colorado after losing 17 of 19 the last two seasons?
I don't think you can look at it like that. I don't think you can take those numbers from the previous 2 years and apply it here. I think it's a completely different situation. The one argument people would make is, well, the Rockies, they're going to show some pride. No one's going to get swept in four. Maybe the Giants realize they've achieved what they set out to achieve and they don't come out as hot. I don't think you can apply that either. That's the same thing you say in a doubleheader, and the Giants went out and won that game. And the price you're looking at today, Colorado minus 178, as high as minus 180 at some places. That's insane considering what the Giants have been doing to them.
Yeah.
Insane.
I think today's one of those ones where you go first inning, yes, no prop on a run scored, and you say yes.
It's too emotional.
As hot as they're
too emotional. I don't have that in me today.
As warm as it is, what's the over-under for the game? It's got to be like 13.5,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a casual 13 in the hook.
But don't you think last night they broke them? Meaning Colorado. Because think about this. If every day I came in here and I punch you, and then one day you punch me back the next day, then I hit you with a two-piece. Pop, pop, pop. Then,
boom. That was three.
Yeah, and then you come back.
He's rolling.
You hit me twice, and then you hit me three times. Oh, I'm going to get him this time. And
interesting,
all of a sudden I hit you four more.
Interesting analogy here.
Think about where they won. They won 19-2.
Am I the Rockies in this, or am I the Giants?
Of course you're the Rockies.
Damn.
Well, think about you.
Getting motorboated.
But they didn't get motorboated 19? They didn't get motorboated?
They got boated.
So what's
coach.
The point? If you beat Dibs up every day, days you hit him with a two-piece, some days a three-piece, some days a one-piece.
And you're finally like, damn, am I even going to punch back? I can't win. They had a chance last night. They go up, and freaking the Giants still say, nah, we're going to go extra innings. We're going to still give me that. Let me take that from you. They may be broken, so I wouldn't bet on Colorado.
I look at a situation for today, and it's a day game, right? You got to look at who's going to be playing, who's not going to be playing. I'd imagine Buster Posey won't be playing day game after night game, so you got Steven Vogt in there. You look at the rest of the lineup, you look at the bullpen freshness factor. I think that this one leans heavily toward Colorado. I would play the Rockies, but really, I'm most sold on this first inning run. It's a yes, Joe.
A yes?
Probably
minus money. You're going to have to lay some juice there.
But you're not laying 178. You'd probably have to lay 125, 130 on
the
first run prop.
We'll look it up for you.
Giants are
potential look-ahead spot for the Giants. They get the Mets coming to town this weekend. That's a huge series.
Yeah.
Huge series against the Metropolitans.
But this is another great thing. They could stay closer in this wild card race. The Giants are saying, dude, we can't.
Sorry, coach. We are, unfortunately, for you in that beautiful Miami Vice color T-shirt. All out of time. However, Chris Rose from Intentional Talk, set to join the boys, Joe Lowe and Dibs, right after the break. Talk a little more Giants, take your phone calls, talk some Niners as well. Interesting comments from Peter King as to where he sees the Niners finishing this season. Back in a flash, here on 95.7 The Game.
Coming up today on The Game, MLB Network's Chris Rose breaks down the Giants' potential trade deadline moves with Joe Lowe and Dibs at 9. And our NFL Insider Week continues as former 49er Ian Williams joins Bonte, Steiny, and Guru live in studio starting at noon on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
Oh, oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.